Footprints Worth Following. That's the title of the message series, and I'm teaching on passages of Scripture that you'll be dealing with in your connections classes the next week. So if we're walking down a path and we're making footprints, others follow us, are we on the right path? That's important, isn't it? People are going to follow us, and they're going to step into our footprints. The key is we need to make sure that we're on the right path, because if we're not, it's actually going to hurt those who try to follow us. And here is the unfortunate reality of our world. Most people are not on the right path. Now, this is not my opinion, okay? These are the words of Jesus himself. He said that's the way it will be through all time. Look at what he says in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. In other words, the majority. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life. And he goes on to say, and only a few find it. So here's the truth. Genuine Christianity is only followed by the minority. I wish I could say it would be different. I want everybody to know Christ and follow him. I would love for that to be the case. That's my dream. But Jesus says it's not always going to be that way. And here's what's going to really surprise you if you're not already surprised by words I've shared. One of the most difficult places on the planet to follow Jesus genuinely is here in America. Now that will really surprise you. But here is why I believe this to be true in America. We have so many unbelievable blessings, unmerited ones, that have been given us by God that we often take them for granted. And we don't go back to the source and realize that they come from God. The American dream is something I would call Christianity light. And I don't recommend that path. But the majority of Americans are going down that path today. And I'm glad you're here. It shows your heart to worship and to grow. And I believe that many, if not all of you, are on the right path. If not, I hope you'll get there soon. But we want to talk about that here today. This Christianity light is powerless. It's less than amazing. It's not helpful. The American dream is not a road that I recommend that you travel down. In fact, I would call the American dream a spiritual nightmare. And it's not going to be good for you in eternity. So we've got two options. The American dream, or could I call the other one the gospel dream? And I want to recommend that one. It's the American dream versus the gospel dream. And this morning, I would like to look at the differences between those two by trying to answer three simple questions. And the first question is this: where is real life? Where can we find real life? What does the American dream say? Live for yourself. If you want to find real meaning and purpose in life, live for self. It's all about you. It's all about the stuff of life. Now, what does stuff include? It can include material possessions. It can include education. It can include notoriety. It can include popularity. All of those things that the American dream says pursue. Jesus has some different things to say about it. Look at Luke 12, verse 15. Then he, and this is Jesus speaking, said to them, "Watch out. Beware. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." But my friends, that's what the American dream says. That if you really want to have life, it's in the amount of stuff you have, however you measure that stuff. And here's what I did. I tried to Google and track down the first reference to the American dream. Where did it come from? Who coined the phrase and the concept and the idea? And I went back and found that it probably came from 1931. There was a man named James Truslow Adams, and he wrote a book entitled The Epic of America. Who would think that epic would come back and be a popular word again? But he spoke of it in 1931. And I want you to read with me this quote. Listen to what he said about the epic of America, the ultimate. "The American dream," there's the phrase, "is that dream of a land in which life should be better and richer and fuller for everyone, with opportunity for each," and notice the connection, "according to ability or achievement. It is not a dream of motor cars and high wages merely, but a dream of social order in which each man and each woman shall be able to attain to the fullest stature of which they are innately capable and be recognized by others for what they are." Notice that. What they are, not who they are. So here is the summary of what real life looks like when we're walking down the path of the American dream. According to this quote, the American dream means a richer life, more stuff, ability, that's how you're measured, advancement based on your ability, full stature, recognition. Now, can I just say something? There's nothing wrong with a lot of these concepts. Having dreams, having aspirations for the future, hard work. Nothing wrong with that. That's a great goal to pursue. These are good things. But the problem is spiritually when we make that transition, and it's a short one, to the stuff of life as being the measurement of what really matters. We're mired in that in our culture. But the gospel dream, it has a completely different goal. And folks, this is radical. I'm telling you. If you walk down this path, you are going to be in the extreme minority. I'm going to warn you ahead of time. But I'm also going to recommend it because it will be awesome. What do we need to do? Instead of living for stuff, we need to die to self. Die to self. And this is a lifelong process, by the way. It doesn't just start and then end and done, it continues. Look at what Paul says in Galatians 2:20, very famous verse in the New Testament. "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." We can either live for self or we can die to self. And when we die to self, we get to live for the glory of God. And I recommend this lifestyle. Towards the end of his letter to the Galatians, Paul says this in chapter 6, verse 14. "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me." See that phrase? "And I to the world." And these words come from a man who had an awesome spiritual resume. He studied under the famous Jewish leader Gamaliel. He was able to move forward in Jewish customs and traditions. He works hard. He's well educated. He's a respected religious leader. And then he meets Christ. And what does he say at that time? He makes a trade. He trades himself for God. He trades his abilities, which were many, by the way, for the power of God. And Paul does boast. He does brag. What does he brag about? His weaknesses. Not his talents. Not his resume. Why is dying to self so important? When we die to self, we are born again. And then the ordinary turns into the extraordinary. The natural turns into the supernatural. And you can live at a different level. And then we can claim and use His power and not our own limited abilities. We can go so much further in Him. So when we pursue the path toward the American dream, what is the focus on? My ability. And that's the next question we need to answer. Where's the power source for life? The American dream says, well, it's up to you, your ability. Show me your stuff of life. Notice what we read in Matthew 19, in verse 16. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good thing must I do in order to get eternal life? To achieve it, to attain it. This unnamed man has a lot of great qualities we find in the context of Scripture. But he thinks somehow that he is going to be able to earn eternal life. And this is a common belief system around our world. How can I get it? How can I earn it? What must I do to get eternal life? One of the very popular spiritual views today might be illustrated with what I call the mountain diagram. And in that diagram, God is at the top. And we are down in the valley, at the bottom. But you'll notice there are many different paths leading from mankind in the valley up to God. This is called religion. Today, relativists and universalists say it really doesn't matter what path you take to get to God. Eventually, they all end up at the same place. That's not at all what Jesus teaches and what the Scripture teaches. We can't get there by ourselves. If we're operating from our power source, if we're trying to do things in our abilities, then Christianity is indistinguishable from every other world religious system. There is no difference. And then it doesn't matter what path you follow. Success is dependent upon us, not God. It's up to us. As a result, religion says whoever has the most assets wins the race. Jesus reserves his harshest words for religious people because he has a different plan. It's all about us earning our way, getting up to heaven. Christianity, however, is exactly opposite of that. God came our way. Do you see the difference? And we don't have to depend upon our abilities, our morality. We are able to connect and have access to His spiritual power. Folks, there are so few people who call themselves Christians today who are connected to the power source. They're still trying to live in and of the flesh. This could be the most freeing spiritual message you have ever heard, because you can be free to be in His power. What does the gospel dream say? It's not about your abilities. It's about His power being made available to us through the Spirit. Look at verse 9 of our text in 2 Corinthians 12. But He, that's God, said to me, that's Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. So here he starts bragging. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, my shortcomings, my inabilities, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Notice the difference in the diagram. It's not us finding our way, weaving our way through life up the path to find our way to the apex of the mountain. But instead, it is God reaching down to us through the cross of Jesus Christ. If you leave with nothing else today, I invite you to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be empowered by His Spirit. Don't leave impressed with the music or say, yeah, that was a good message. Leave with the power of God, and it will change your world. Listen again to the verse 9 of our passage. But He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Folks, we're not only saved by the grace of God and by His power, but we're also sustained by His grace and power. It doesn't end after we become Christ followers. That means that we need to live in the Spirit and we need to live by the Spirit every moment of every day. In our culture, it becomes so easy for us to lean on self. That's what the American dream teaches. Hey, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Make it happen. You can do it. This is one of the miracles of Jesus Christ that is often underemphasized, because His strength, His ability is everything. Lean on Him. So a great question to ask ourselves today, as I go through life, am I leaning on self? Am I dependent on myself? Or am I dependent on the Spirit? Where am I living today? Is it the gospel dream? There's so many times that we try to do church in the American Christianity light way. I have found this to be very, very popular. I'd like to see it to be different at Summit, different from this formula. Here is how a lot of people do church today. You know how they do it? They get this charismatic personality up front who's going to be motivating and saying all the cool things in order to try to impress you to follow Christianity light. Add to it performance. Yeah, let's put on a show. If we put on a show, people will come and they'll be impressed with us. I don't want anybody to be impressed with us. I want everybody to be impressed with Christ. That's what matters. Programs plus professionals equal success. That's how a lot of Western Christianity is being done today. And I'd like to move away from that. We try to impress others in the community by what we have to offer. So we have these conferences and seminars where we sell these ideas. Hey, if you'll just do this latest fad or function, it'll work. That's not how the gospel is presented. Are we going to place our trust in methods and strategies and just leave the Spirit completely out of the equation? Or are we going to yield to the Spirit? Is kingdom advance only for those who can afford these fancy things and come up with cool new ideas? And let me just say this, there's nothing wrong with new methods. Nothing wrong at all with that. There's nothing wrong with good, solid, strong programs. There's nothing wrong with people who are gifted and talented using those gifts to express the gospel. But the key is we need to be sensitive about this, especially here at this church. Because as I look around, we have so many wonderfully talented people. We've been blessed with incredible resources. And it'd be so tempting for us to place our trust in the things of man rather than in the power of God. Do you remember the crazy story in the Old Testament? It's in the book of Joshua, chapter 6. And it's when Joshua, as a leader, is taking the Israelites into the Battle of Jericho. You may have heard that if you've been involved in church a long time. You remember the strange strategy that God gave them? Here's what God said to them. He said, go into the city, and I want you guys to march around the city every day, once a day, for 6 days. And as you do that, have the priests, have the spiritual leaders, walk in front of the Ark of the Covenant and have them carry ram's horns with them. And then on the seventh day, march around the city 7 times. Not once, but 7. And have the priests blow their horns. And then after the priests blow their trumpets, have all the people give out this huge loud shout at one time. And when that happens, the walls of the city will come crumbling down. Have you ever heard of a stranger strategy than that? Why? Here's why. When the victory comes, there will be no question about who won the battle. That it was God who did it. No one would say, man, did you hear how good those guys played those ram's horns? Man, they were awesome. Unbelievable. Do you ever think that we could yell so loud that we could knock stone walls down? Man, aren't we powerful? They all knew because of this bizarre method that the only way that it could have happened was with God. Might we live that way? Immersed in His power, trusting in His Spirit to do the amazing, the miraculous, but it's all for His glory. You see, when we truly live out the gospel, the focus changes. The focus goes to Jesus Christ. Here's the American dream. Third question, where should I focus? The American dream, you can understand the fill-in for that. Me. It's all about me. Like the younger son said in the parable of the lost sons in Luke 15. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. In the American dream, the focus is on me. Believe in yourself. Experience your best life now. That's the message that some are proclaiming. We can even begin to worship self-improvement and positive thinking. That has somehow woven its way into some of American churchianity. It's very popular, and it's a subtle form of idolatry. And we've got to be careful. What do we do when we're focusing on the American dream? We focus on how I can become a better me. And then when I do, I can proclaim it so others will notice. In the last couple of weeks, a pastor's wife made a video where she is quoted as saying the following words. So I want you to know this morning, just do good for your own self. Do good because God wants you to be happy. When you come to church, when you worship Him, you're not doing it for God, really. You're doing it for yourself because that's what makes God happy. And then she said, amen. And I say, wrong. Not even close to the gospel truth. I would recommend another path. It's not the majority. It's the minority one. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the ultimate adventure. It's the greatest treasure in the universe. I recommend it for all. When you truly discover these spiritual riches, you're going to trade in everything that you have for the privilege of knowing and following Jesus Christ. And what does it look like? First, as Paul shares in our text today, it includes dying to self so that we can live for God. The gospel dream leads us to focus on Christ. Top of the list, Lord of Lords, Lord of all. In verse 10, that is why for Christ's sake. Hear Paul's heart? I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. He says, I delight in them. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So ordinary becomes extraordinary when the focus is on Jesus Christ. Look at these two verses, Colossians 1:18. And he, that's Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. That's the Christ life. And then John 3:30, this is my theme verse for life. I chose it because it's so short I can memorize it really easily. He must become greater. I must become less. John 3:30. I'm going to share with you a personal story about a lesson that God taught me about the drastic difference between trusting in personal skills and abilities and trusting in His power. And this happened about 12 years ago. Stan and I traveled into the center of a country in North Africa for the purpose of leadership training among a small group of believers. And this was the first of about 11 trips that I've made there. So I didn't know much about the culture. I didn't know what to expect. It was quite a trip. We'll save some of the other stories for another day. But about 40 men, women, and children gathered under a tent in 110-degree weather and gave their 3 days for learning about how they could go out and share the gospel. And I started by asking this question. If you were here with us last week, it was my encouragement to you to develop your personal story about sharing Christ, your testimony. So I said, how many of you have ever been taught how to share your personal testimony? And nobody raised their hand. I thought it was a translation problem. I repeated it again and asked my translator to share it again in Arabic. And he did. They still didn't raise their hands. And I remember at that moment, I said, God, we're in trouble. I've got 3 days to teach them how to share the gospel, how to start new churches and begin the discipleship process, and they've never even learned how to share their personal testimony. I'm just being confessional with you. I said, we're not going to do real well here, but we buckled down and we hustled and we worked hard. They were hungry. They loved learning. They had great hearts. The goal after the conference was to send them out. And there were about 23 of them that agreed to go out at least two at a time or sometimes three or four together. And they would go and they would try to share the gospel and also distribute copies of the Arabic Bible. And by the way, you guys made those copies available 12 years ago so they could be distributed by those people. We shared a heartfelt goodbye to them as we began our journey back to America. And then I heard about what happened as they went out to share. In fact, let me just read it to you because it's in a book now. Basic Training for Mission Teams, page 82, written by Jerry Rankin. And I remember the first time I read this, I saw the first sentence. A team of volunteers went to a part of North Africa that is virtually all Muslim and trained village church leaders to share their testimonies and began home-based churches. And I was reading that, I said, man, that sounds so familiar. And then the next sentence, immediately after the conference, 23 men went to 15 nearby villages. I said, that is us. That was our crew. To practice what they had learned. One more sentence I'll read. More than 1,700 people accepted Christ. And 40 new churches were started in 1 week. I was in that office when I heard this news. And I fell to my knees. And I confessed to God my sin of looking at natural ability instead of trusting in the supernatural ability to God to do what He could do. And that's the difference. Am I going to do it my way with my limited abilities? Or am I going to give myself to God so that He could do His work? John 15:5 is so true. If we will live this, Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can only do a little bit. That's not what it says, is it? Apart from me, you can do nothing. In the flesh, nothing spiritual will be attained. Ephesians 1, 18 and 19 is so true. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And look at this next phrase. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. And folks, here's the awesome news. When we're walking on the right path, the gospel dream, and where we're trusting in him and leaning on him, there are going to be so many blessings. What do they include? Others will benefit. And if we're walking in the Spirit, we're living for others. Think about this. We're either going to point people to ourselves or we're going to point them to Christ. If we point them to depend on us, what happens when we're not there? Or what happens when somehow we fail or we fall short of meeting their needs? They're going to fail as well. We've actually hurt them. The ultimate goal is to lead them toward Jesus, the one who will never let them down, the one who will never leave them and forsake them. And of course, we will benefit ourselves, won't we? Secondarily, we are fulfilled. Others are more important than us. But one of the blessings, the byproducts of living a Spirit-filled, Spirit-empowered life is we are going to have an awesome life. You're created to be God's living sacrifice. Sacrifice to him, living for him. Where you give yourself fully to him and you live daily in his power. But best of all, Christ is honored and glorified. That's how we need to live. In such a way that he is seen and that he is recognized. When we say, God, live in me and work through me, we're going to see miracles. Christ is honored. And instead of imagining all the things we can accomplish, we're praying for him to do only that which he can accomplish. So let's be desperate for his Spirit and not dependent on self. Which am I? Dependent on self or really, really desperate for his Spirit? Father, make us so hungry today that we will not settle for the American dream, but we will pursue with passion the gospel dream. I don't know what that means for others. I know what that means for me. And God, it is such a great challenge. I cannot do it. I need you. Lord, I want to be desperate for your empowerment. So do that work today. God, would you? If we as a body live like that, wow. What a radical change that would make. And then, God, when we walk down that path, there are footprints that are worth following because we're walking in your steps. And that's what we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, I guess you could tell I'm kind of passionate about that. Because I really love you guys. And I don't want you to live in spiritual mediocrity. Don't settle for that. You ready for something better than that? Which path are you on today? There are two of them, Jesus said. One of them is huge. And there are a lot of people on it. And that's where the flow goes in life today. And it's walking away from God. Towards eternal separation from him. And then there's another one where the door is very narrow. And there are not a lot of people that are on that path. But it leads to life. It leads to Jesus Christ. Why is the door narrow? Because there's only one way. And it's through Jesus Christ. And he's waiting at that door. And he's inviting you to it. But you've got to walk in faith and follow him. Which are you on today? Follower of Christ, where are you leaning for your strength and dependency today? Is it on self? Your own abilities, talents, education, etc.? Or is it on Jesus Christ? Dependent on self or on the Spirit? Immerse yourself in the Spirit, would you? And my prayer is that every time we gather, if it's in a Life Connection class Sunday morning, if it's in a worship gathering like we have now, if it's for our parent summit tonight, if it's for any kind of a fellowship event, if it's for Summit Servants, oh, if our Summit Servants team gets serious about being immersed in the Spirit and just living that life, it is going to change everything. Mm-hmm. And if you're not a part of that team, we'd love to have you. We're going to be meeting 2 weeks from this afternoon for 1 hour, and I'm going to cast the vision and share with you how you can be involved. If you'd like to be on that team, just put it on your communication card before you turn it in. We'll send you a follow-up letter. And again, your commitment to show up that day is not your commitment to serve. If you don't like what you hear, don't worry about it. At least you gave it a shot. It'll be up to us to cast the vision. Today, I want to invite you to pray for the North Africa team. They're out, closing in on the end of their day. Richard Balfour is there from our church. Others are there serving and representing Christ. Just pray that God will use them in a great way. Today, we want to invite you to follow Christ in whatever He's asking you to do or to be. To become a part of our body, we'd love to have you. To follow Christ in baptism, that's a step of obedience that leads to being filled with the Spirit so that you can be obedient to Him. If you are disobedient to Christ, you're not being filled with the Spirit. What's He asking you to do? If He asks you to do it, and you'll grow. Today, we're here to pray for you if we can. If there's something on your heart that we can lift up to the Lord, we'll have some folks at the front to do that. So why don't you stand with us as we move into our response time. Whatever God has said to you, I just invite you to be faithful and follow His